O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I say this only half jokingly. That means I'm half telling the truth. Well, I should always tell the truth, but I think it's important to assign blame. Now this is not the saint talking, but at my worst, I like to assign blame. Stuff goes wrong in the house. Why is something sticky here? This thing's out of place. Who did it? Because I want to figure out who did it and make sure it didn't happen the next time. So assigning blame is something that can be done with words, but if you're going to assign blame with hand motions, what does it look like? What do you do? Yeah, you point. Julian just did that. Yeah, I point because it's your fault. On the basketball court, sometimes I get frustrated. Well, referees will point at people. They assign blame. But sometimes when I'm playing a game, I want to assign blame, and I might be mad at that person. Playing football, a little better outlet for this. Get angry, assign blame. See, when I get really, really angry, now I don't do this at home, I collapse my pointing finger like this, and I make a fist. See, if I get angry enough at assigning blame, I want to pound someone. This morning we hear the rest of St. Peter's sermon, the sermon delivered at Pentecost. You heard the first part of it last week, but now Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands before a congregation in Jerusalem, and he says this. He says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You, crucified by the hands of lawless men. You did it." He points the finger. And when God points a finger at us and accuses us, behind that finger is a fist. It's more than a fist. It's a God who can crush. Because sin deserves death. In killing the only begotten Son of God, it surely deserves death. Assigning blame, and behind that, a punishment. And it's not just a punch in the face. But the first part of 23, Peter says that Jesus is delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So there is a plan, a story, a true story of salvation that is being carried out here. God the Father has the plan, makes the plan. The Son carries out that plan of saving, of redeeming, and he does that in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, on this Trinity Sunday, to know the Trinity, to confess the Trinity, is more than just a head knowledge thing. It's more than just dry doctrine. Although there are some Christian church bodies that say doctrine divides and love unites. But when I say doctrine, teaching that is centered in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is all about life. But actually, the experience of the Trinity, I think it goes in reverse for you and me. It goes Holy Spirit, Son, Father. That's what's happening here at this Pentecost sermon. The Holy Spirit comes and accuses. See, the finger is pointed. You are guilty of sin, and sin deserves death. And it's the Holy Spirit who comes and brings people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who brings you and me to Jesus. You saw this last week as I marched. Who did I march around? Noah. Did I march you around? No, that was Saturday night. No, it was Sunday morning. I marched Noah around the sanctuary. I was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who brings us to Christ. Jesus foreshadows this in John chapter 3 when he says to Nicodemus about who Jesus is and knowing Jesus as a Savior, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." It's only by the Holy Spirit that we know Jesus as more than just a teacher. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we know Jesus as some kind of failed and crucified revolutionary. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can know Jesus as a Savior from sin. It's the Spirit who grabs hold of us and, convicted of our sin, then says, "See and hear words of promise." It's to see Jesus and not see Jesus just with a hand or a finger extended that says you're guilty or you don't live up or you're going to die, but it is to see Jesus' hands pierced. It's to see Jesus, who we talked about a few weeks ago, hands raised in blessing at his ascension. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings us and says to see Jesus with hands open, leading us to the Father, pointing to the Father. Because God the Father only has forgiven children. God the Father only has forgiven children. And so to know the Trinity is to know the gospel, the good news from the very beginning. You heard the reading from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, all of it. 4 or 3.5. Part of verse 4 of chapter 2, a long reading. And yet to hear, here is God, the creator of all things, who creates in love, who creates through a word, who has a definite plan of salvation, who has foreknowledge even before Adam and Eve were created. But to believe in the Trinity is also to confess. It's to have a head knowledge, but also to know in our heart. It is to believe with the head, but to confess with the mouth, the heart, that Jesus is Lord. It's to not just say it, but to live it out as well. The God the Father who spoke all things into creation, who brought things into existence simply by a word, the one who is the Word, the Logos, the Logos, who created through the Son when the Spirit was there hovering over the waters of the deep. We heard in the gospel lesson, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, but how to do that? To baptize. Baptize in what? In what means? Well, by means of water and the Word, but the Word, the specific Word, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because the Trinity is salvation in action. Well, back to St. Peter's sermon. At verse 33 today, he builds to a crescendo. Well, I'd back up to 32. He says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are now seeing and hearing." St. Peter talks about it there. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But the order, I think, for us in experience is Holy Spirit, Son, Father. St. Peter says that this promise of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. Last week in Lutheranism 101, we talked about baptism. We'll continue today because I don't move very quickly with anything. Might be talking about it for another 2 weeks. I don't know. But in baptism, God does not just give us an eyedropper full of grace. Oh, a little bit of forgiveness for you. A little bit here, because you just have a little bit of sin, just a little bit for Judy, and just a little bit for Rick, just a little bit for Jeff. Oh, some people need a little more, give you a pitcher full. No, in baptism, God pours out a flood of grace upon us. A flood. It's grace that covers over all of our sin and shame. Sins against God, sins against other people. He pours it out on us. Well, see, here's the thing. Sin kills. Sin is self-centered in English. The middle letter of sin is, let's see if we can spell, it's three letters. You know that, Nathan? How to spell sin? S-I-N. Okay, just making sure you're still with me. You're in the hot seat. I haven't had anybody in the hot seat for a while. Sin. The middle letter is I. See, sin is self-focused. So sin leads me and takes my eyes and ears off of God and what He's doing and the wonders of His creation and the people around me, and I start to pull in and everything is here. My life is terrible. I want to assign blame for these people. I'm getting very angry. My hands are clenched. I'm even mad at God. I close off more and more and more until I am a shriveled up, miserable little man. And then I'm dead. But God says He pours out His grace on us. And that grace hits me and begins to give me new life. And I open up a little bit more. And my eyes are opened and I, oh, there's God. And I begin to open up more and more. My hands that are clenched in frustration and anger begin to open. And as the Holy Spirit brings and pours out that grace, and I have new life to see and hear. And it's not all about me, that actually it's about God who created me. And I'm not just alone, but I have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He gives life. And it's not just for me, but other people. And then I realize there are other people around me. And these gifts, because now my hands are open, God only gives in to empty hands, are open to receive. But just to keep for myself? No. To give to other people and to receive from them. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. See, apart from the grace that God gives, that the Holy Spirit brings, I am clean cut off from God. See, without the Holy Spirit, I would not know Jesus as Savior, nor would you. And without knowing Jesus as Savior, there's no way that I would know that God the Father is a loving Father. And so when I begin to get consumed again with my sin, because every day the old Adam rises up and he wants to start pointing fingers. Maybe it's even pointing at me. And then I get angry. And God gives me forgiveness. And you too. And takes us from being dead and shriveled up and closed off to opened up to life. Because the Trinity is about salvation in action. The Holy Spirit who calls, who pours out this grace upon us, who shows us the Son. In the Large Catechism, in the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther says that Jesus, the Son, is a mirror of the Father's heart. But you can't see Him or know Him, nor can I, apart from the Holy Spirit. And then to know Jesus as a mirror of the Father's heart is to know God not just simply as an angry and terrible judge, but as a loving Father. That's what the Trinity is about. Salvation in action. Holy Spirit, Son, Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, to sum all this up, we'll sing a prayer hymn, a newer hymn, a brand new hymn in the scope of hymnody. It's only like 30 years old. There is a Redeemer. And the refrain goes like this: Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and sending your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Amen and Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.